Yeah, and as the coronavirus spreads, there's a real question of how employees will work, how employers will respond, and with respect to sick leave, what the rules are, whether they have to comply with them. And we're very glad to say that we have with us Bloomberg Law reporter Genevieve Douglas joining us from Washington, D.C. And Genevieve, this is a real question right now, especially as President Trump and his administration consider paying doctors and hospitals to cater to uninsured patients. What's the sick leave law looking like? How much do employers have to cover any expenses of employees who call out sick because they think they might have the coronavirus? Or they actually do?
Certainly. So there's a patchwork of sorts when it comes to laws that employers will have to consider when deciding how employees can take leave, whether that's paid leave. There's no federal paid sick leave law. We have the Family and Medical Leave Act, which would be for employers with 50 or more workers, and that would cover a serious medical illness or a serious health condition. And there's some kind of debate about whether the coronavirus would qualify because it is a novel virus. And I think if someone is ill, if they've tested positive and they're in the hospital or receiving inpatient care or medical care, that would certainly fall under the FMLA qualifications. However, for quarantines, we're kind of in uncharted territory. When it comes to state-by-state laws, only 10 states have mandates that employers provide their workers with paid sick leave. There's about 20 or so additional, like, cities, states, municipalities that also have similar laws. But those laws can vary by how much leave they have, and often it's only a week. So when we're looking at a quarantine for 2 weeks, we're kind of questioning how much time is enough.
What's the power? You know, take a state. I'm not going to mention names because I get a lot of hate mail as we're listening to it in all 50 states. Take a state that's way behind on this, or they feel, you know, this is the way it's going to be for whatever the philosophy is or that. Are they going to force somebody to come to work who is diagnosed with this virus? Can they do that?
I think once there's a diagnosis, it is out of employers' hands, right? Because then you have public health officials involved. You've got, you know, a hospital that has a patient who tests positive for coronavirus isn't necessarily going to just release them into the general population.
You know, I mean, Lisa shows up 200 business days of the year. A slacker like me, I get a runny nose. I take the day off. So I'm sitting at home in one of these states. I don't feel that good or whatever. The Red Sox lost. And, you know, I decide I don't want to go to work. You know, people are going to be like that, right?
Sure. I think there's a possibility. I think especially when workers in hourly or lower wage jobs are having to choose because they're the least likely to have access to paid sick leaves. And I think that, you know, when they're having to choose between taking unpaid time off and going to work, there might be some fear that, you know, workers will choose their paycheck because it, you know, it has real life consequences if they can't pay the rent or their bills. That being said, I feel like a lot of employers in this particular case are going to be lenient, right? Yeah. So I think employers want to make the right decision. I think that that's true for a number of reasons, when it's a public health concern, certainly, and you don't want to be the company that isn't being empathetic or compassionate for workers who are ill.
Just to paint a picture, Tom Keene right now is stroking the disinfecting wipes as he stands
it says here. It says kills 99.9% of viruses. So on a type 2 basis, what about the 0.1% of the viruses?
I will also pro tip, don't stroke the sides of it when people pick it up to disinfect things. It probably isn't clean
kills
on the outside.
That could be a surface that might have a few germs
kills
on it.
Escherichia coli, salmonella, strep, and also Genesee cream ale. That's amazing.
Genevieve, just real quick here. One big question has been whether businesses will take a serious hit to their bottom line as a result of the coronavirus. And I have to wonder whether there's any assistance either from insurance or the government to help them cover all of the lost productivity, the sick days that people might be calling in.
I think it's a serious concern. I'll be honest, it's not something that anyone I think has been able to calculate, but I certainly think that when it comes to these types of outbreaks and potential pandemics, there seems to be a willingness to be flexible. Now, that being said, you know, who's to say what's going to come in the future?
But what about our agricultural complex and particularly the food processing of our agriculture? Do they have a separate body of law? Or are they going to be under the same scrutiny as, you know, pharmacies or, you know, retail stores?
The agricultural industry and the food processing industry, do think that there, so for example, the firefighters in Washington who were exposed to COVID-19 out in Kirkland, there was some OSHA, occupational safety and health regulation that kind of took over the quarantining and treatment of those workers. So, you know, there are certainly some industry specific laws. I can't speak directly to agriculture and food processing, but I do think that, the thing that makes this so complicated is that there is kind of a layering of rules and regulations from multiple agencies that, depending on what you do for a living and who you work for and, and how you work, you know, employers are going to have to really know what they need to do. It's going to be it's tough. And it's ever changing. That's the thing. You know, when we wrote this story earlier this week, only 10 states, and now we have 12. So,
okay, Genevieve, this is very valuable. Genevieve Douglas, thank you so much. Writing for Bloomberg Law and Bloomberg BNA, greatly appreciate that.